Let me remind you that the only reason I preach is to demonstrate when God says something, He does it. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. If the message I preach is heard, you can stand alone. The crutch that so many Christians need, of finding brother this and sister that to rescue them, is no longer necessary. If you can be convinced, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. It waits on the shelf of God's promise for a man of faith to pick it up. And faith is that courageous grabbing of the promise, looking every circumstance in the teeth and hanging on until you either die not having obtained the promise, and then you got it all. You're where God's word forever reigns. Or you affect time. It's impossible to be a Christian in that sense without tension. The only peace that is always guaranteed is peace with God. And God's angels can give you peace in your heart. But tension is always there. Let me say that to people that probably are like your pastor and teacher. At least 7 days since the last time I preached, I argued with God on this point. I said, when will the stress cease? Well, the answer is, when the Sabbath rest comes over there. In fact, if you don't have any stress, maybe you've surrendered to the powers that rule down here. Well, I know a lot of Christians that never have any problems. Wait till God lights the match. They will burn piece by piece. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said. And that tribulation is a cognate, the word used, of the Latin word that means to beat wheat from chaff. You never will separate chaff from wheat by letting it lay around. First Church of Walruses. And since stress is the order of the day, you've got to have a handle on what will never change. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. And a Christian has only two destinies that face him every day. He grabs God's word, and starts swimming against the tide, or upstream, or bucking the wind. He starts stress instantly, because the prince of this world wants to prove God's word false, and when faith connects, the connection will keep the working of God's word until time bends and the Lord's delivered admonition to his disciples, which is our prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it already exists in heaven." That will happen, or the Lord will snatch you home and you'll have a big bank account in glory, faith tried in the fire. Well, I want my faith in the bathtub, the swimming pool, the ice cream parlor. I'll even take it at McDonald's. Just don't give me this fire bit. McDonald's is okay if you get on the stove. Faith tried in the fire. God, Thou can do all things. You spoke and not a thing became everything. Speak, Lord. Make me a fully done favor. One word's all it takes. Finished product. Bow your knee. Take the spiritual pill. Arrived! Go to hell. I want what I want, and the only person that will be able to sing, you know what we'll sing when we get to heaven? We'll sing the song of the redeemed. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know what God will sing? He'll say, "Frankie, sit down." God will sing, "I done it my way." Now, there's a song for you, Ron. My way. That'd be better than hearing me play the sax. Hear God sing. I'm telling you, you'd have been in real trouble if you'd voted against that one. Caught you. I really like the sound of that. That's better than me playing the sax, hearing God sing. You better not boo God as a singer, I'm telling you. Thou mightest become a wet spot. 3 times divine manifestation. Better hear God sing than me play the sax. My way. Take you a week to figure out how to answer that one. But you'll do it. Forever, O Lord, Thy word settled in heaven. That's why I preach. I embrace Gestalt learning theory. You get a grip of the whole, and then you fill in the details. I know to some of the things we are teaching, I don't need to convince you anymore. But faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's nice to know Jesus died for our sins, but nothing secures the faith more strongly than to see the imminent detail with which God carried it out. Way back in the Psalms, they said they'd walk by and wag their tongue at Him and wag their head and mock Him. Way back in the Psalms, it said there wouldn't be a bone of His body broken. Way back in the Psalms, they said, not the Psalms, but Zechariah the prophets, they said, they'll look on Him whom they have pierced. How much stronger the faith grows to see every I dotted, every T crossed. We've been preaching on these historic patterns. God's people, His promises. We have pointed out over and over again. God said to Abram and Sarah, kings will come out of you. Many kings. To Ephraim, earlier to Sarah, commonwealth, a community of nations. Kings not in the sense of just linear descent, but horizontally, multiplicity of kings. We know that when Jacob gave the promises to his sons, after he adopted Manasseh and Ephraim as his own sons, he took everything the birthright entailed. Amazing how a word can be around for so long and nobody really look at what it means. Whatever is your right because of birth is your birthright. Under the law of primogeniture, which is the first to be born, the firstborn received it by virtue of the fact that he was born first. Real complicated. Now, I can tell you one thing you could be sure of. The devil knew this. If the pressure was ever put on anybody in this world, it was put on the firstborn. And every time Satan knocked one of them out, he won a little battle. You study the history of the firstborn, they didn't do so good. Esau. But God retained the right. To change and dispense the normal plan. If God didn't interfere, birthright ruled. If God interfered, God right took over because He gave the promise in the first place that was passed on by birth. That's what Romans 9 is all about. Will the clay talk back to the potter? Hey, God is dispensing a promise from the seed will flow the tree of blessing, including Christ. That's why I say over and over again, in spite of what the modern doctrines will say, God is love, but love is not God. There's only one way in which God remains God. And this is the missing note of understanding in the modern church. There is only one way in which God retains His position. This is the fallacy of liberalism. It is still in the modern church. Love does not keep him God. One thing alone gives sanity and eternity to ultimate reality and meaning to this earth. Bad word. Power. Power. It doesn't matter whether you have a theory that God's power is limited, which some people have suggested, that He is in a war, and not able to end it in one blow, which I think is heresy, or whether you believe it is absolute and you can end it in one blow and don't understand why He doesn't. Without ultimate power, Satan would take over. You know how long God would last if He tried to love Satan? Then you know what love is? Sacrificial giving of yourself for the benefit of the other. That's the meaning of the word agapao. Sacrificial giving of yourself for the benefit of the other. Because of an intrinsic value seen in the object being loved. Do you know where we'd be if God tried that with Satan? That's why the Hebrew letter lifts the mystery. God bent down and stooped to pick up fallen man, but He didn't do it for fallen angels. Because if He did, they'd take over. God's the boss. Well, that's Old Testament. Mean old fiery God, thundering from Sinai, opening the earth to swallow up people, putting leprosy on Miriam. But the New Testament is a gospel of love and kindness and tender mercies. Whew. There were in the church, page 161 of my Bible, New Testament, Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Well, let's go a chapter earlier. I hate to start with 13 on anything. But get a little of the love of God out of the 12th chapter. That's the number of perfect government, you know. Am I boring you?
No,
the 12th chapter. I preach on New Testament for change. They say all I do is talk about Old Testament fire and thunder. I talk on the New Testament. Gospel of love and tenderness, sweetness and mercy. Whoa! 12th chapter. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James. James loved him. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Intending after Easter, by the way, that's the Greek word for Passover, mistranslation. Intending after Passover, they never kept Easter.
never heard of Easter except they heard of Ishtar. Took some King James knucklehead to do that. Check the word. Passover, go to the original. You think the Jews were keeping Easter? Good enough, King James, good enough, Paul's good enough for me. That means them Jews kept Easter when they quit. Intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing. Good. Too bad they didn't pray for James. Just pray. If the devil gets you, he puts you in prison so saints can hear about it and pray. If they come with a sword, you better protect yourself. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, you know what he's going to do to him, don't you? Behead. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night Peter was sleeping, give him credit. Would you have been sleeping? I mean, you know, there are a few things about this old guy I got to admire. He did walk on more water than anybody else. And he was sleeping. I mean, when you're going to get hard on him for sleeping the night that Jesus was betrayed, the guy had a problem. He just slept a lot. There wasn't anything personal in it. He's about to get beheaded and he's sleeping. A lot of humor in the Bible, you know. I mean, these guys' personality just leaks through. You know, the reason some of these people want to have Peter at the gate, they think he'll be sleeping. They can sneak on in. Amazing what people will do. Same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now he's between two soldiers, chained, sleeping. Makes you believe the guy had been stung by a taxi fly. I mean, how can you sleep like that? Keeper before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Well, it doesn't say him in the original, it just says came upon him. And a light shined in the prison. And the angel smote Peter on the side. And raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. How did Luke keep him going into convulsions repeating this? And this is a funny story. And the angel said unto him, "Guard thyself and bind on thy sandals." So he did. Calmly. He saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee." I don't know where it was. "And follow me." And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, thought he saw a vision. Dumb guy, have you ever dreamed a dream and while you were dreaming, thought you were dreaming? Now just think about that for a minute. Dreams can be very real. But there's never a time I can remember when I dreamed and while I was dreaming, I thought I was dreaming. I woke up. Or I've had... No, I really don't ever remember having something while I was awake thinking it was a dream. That bugs me. Chains fell off. Put his sandals on. Girds his garment. Follows the angel. Says to himself, am I dreaming? Funny stories in the Bible. I could never read it through in a year. There ain't no way I could read it through in a year. I get hung up a whole year on one chapter. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to an iron gate that leaded under the city. He's following the angel now, and the gate just opens by itself. Eerie. Passed through one street, and forthwith the angel was gone. He's outside now. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. Truth. The Lord has sent his angel, had delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of Jews. Hey, God really did it to me. When he had considered the thing, thought about it a while, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. They were still gathering there, praying. Here they were. Let me just see them. Oh, God, deliver Peter! Save him from the hand of Herod! Set him free, Lord! Don't interrupt my praying now. Son, go to the door. Ron, go answer the door. No, it was a woman. Don't interrupt the important things. Send a woman to the door. Dirty rats. They had a chauvinist attitude. I'd have bawled them out for that. I bet it was Rom's suggestion. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came. Well, those damsels again. Named Rhoda. Ron did it. He said, Rhoda, go to the door. We're praying. And when she knew Peter's voice, she wouldn't open the door. She opened not the gate for gladness, ran in, told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, you're crazy. Is that what it says? Thou art mad. It ain't no way God would answer our prayers. We're just being spiritual. We don't expect an answer. Day's miracle are over. We want credit when we get to heaven for praying for him, but in our view, he's already good as dead. There ain't no way. You're crazy. Don't interrupt us. We're still praying. She constantly affirmed that it really was so. Ron, go talk to this damsel. you realize she constantly affirmed me, she had to argue with him. No, he's there. Shut up, woman. We're playing. Quench not the spirit. She just kept saying, it is so. Then they said, or then King James said they, it's his angel.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Now, we don't mind praying and improving our spirituality. In fact, we even believe angels might show up. There ain't no way God get him out of jail. I mean, praying the way we've been praying, we want something really spectacular, not a simple deliverance. We can't show Peter on our talk show just standing at the door knocking. When we pray, we want to see angels.
Fun putting these glasses on and off. I'm trying to do it as often as I can.
But Peter kept knocking. Hey, you guys, I'm the guy you're praying for. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Oh, my God, you really did it. And he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declaring unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. He said, go show these things unto James. And he departed. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. Talk about an understatement. There was no small stir among the soldiers. What had become of Peter? Here are these two soldiers. They got chains that don't connect with the body anymore. And when Herod had sought for him, found him not, he examined the keepers. He said, you dirty rats. And he killed them. Killed every one of those guards. What's that? Kill the keepers of the prison. Now, why didn't God think of that? I mean, why didn't God do something to spare those poor people? He had enough sense to know Herod was the kind of guy. Was he going to kill those poor guys? They were just doing their job. Very nice bureaucrats. Oh, God. Would you consider setting them up again? Well, that's not in here. I just threw that in. Herod was highly displeased with him, of Tyre and Sidon. But they came one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. That's a speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. Immediately, the love of God was displayed. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms. Loving God made him worm food. And he gave up the ghost. His shade, as they used to say. His shade left him, let the worms eat on what was left. Loving God. New Testament. Now, 13th chapter. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, blah, blah. Already read that. So they, verse 4, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. When they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Get ready. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Set his eyes on him. And said, my dear brother, knowest thou not, love thy neighbor as thyself. God is love. And we are in the New Testament. So don't create a scene. Not quite. That's not what it says here on page 161, Acts 13, chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Then Saul, who also is called, am I boring you?
No.
Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now there are people who pray for the power of the Holy Ghost for various reasons. I have fasted and prayed for years for this one. I confess I lack spirituality. I hope before the Lord comes, I get this gift. I really want this one. Oh, I want my shadow like Peter fall on people and get healed. I guess I do. I want this one too, though. Then Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil! Where blessed holy angels come purify the air! Send a wave of sweetness from thy throne of love, O God, and take this wrath away from my choice apostle and give him some love. Teach him to be gentle and sweet and loving. Oh God. Then Paul, not boring you, full of the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. My Lord, he's called Son of Jesus. Bar Jesus. He's a prophet. Touch not him who claims touch association. Thou son or child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. You suppose he said, thou child of the devil, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white. Thou, don't take offense at me now, brother. Thou child of the devil. Thou enemy. I'll try to say this sweet now. Thou enemy of all righteousness. Wilt thou not cease to pervert? There, he called him a pervert! Page 161, New Testament. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, let me pray for you, brother. God delivereth from all things. I know you may think you're right, but let's not create a scene, particularly here in front of this government official. Let's step outside and pray. Pervert! Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind. Boy, that gift is the one I want. That's it. Every one of you that pray for me night and day, pray for this gift to fall upon thy pastor. Seeing eye dogs, a bull market to be created overnight. Pray that I'll get this gift. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. The Lord said, Paul, this is the New Testament. Don't ask me to do anything like that. You'll mess up my image. Fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the bureaucrat, when he saw what was done, believed. The only reason I believe, the only reason God may not answer that prayer and give me that gift, is he has decided the bureaucrats are going to be done in. He doesn't want to believe it. But I tell you, I'll bet there'd be a few of them change their mind to give me that gift. You know what to pray for? Loving New Testament. And when the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You know what's wrong in the world today? Nobody astonished at what the church is delivering. You know, when's the last time you paid much attention to the rug you walked on? Huh? Oh, I know. Art dealers and antique rugs, they pay a lot of attention to it. Peddlers of rugs, they always see it. I've never walked by a shoeshine stand in my life. The guy didn't keep his eyes below my knees. But that's specialized interest. Most people just walk on it. They don't pay much attention. When it stands up and hits them in the face, they get astonished. The church has lost its saltiness. God's Word is becoming a shameful thing. People say, well, you just hunt and peck and find those things. That's right. In order to balance those, I've been hunting and pecking and just finding the other things. See, I know both sides. Now, my sermon. That was my introduction. Just to let you know that in the New Testament, God remains the same. And the point I was making is power keeps him on the throne. Power keeps him there. Like it or lump it, the choice is God or the devil. You see, no matter how you may like it, man is born to find a master. And man has a choice, Satan or God. Now, Satan comes as the deceiver. Satan comes under the disguise saying, he's looking out for you. God doesn't really mean what he says. God comes along telling the truth. Die and you'll live. And the war is engaged and we're caught between. As long as you buy Satan's bill of goods, he'll leave you alone. Because he's the prince of the power of the air. But you start grabbing hold of God's Word, exercising the faith which God has chosen as the measure of destiny. Because he is ultimately in control, he could blot out Satan tomorrow. And he will one day, as the book of Revelation says. But in between, God wants to fill the void in heaven left by those who first listened to Satan. And he's going to fill it with quality. Give me any idea how long eternity is? Now, I don't know what they were doing before Lucifer messed up. And I don't know what God had in mind for the denizens of eternity before Satan messed it up. And it seems like an awful long time since Jesus said, I beheld Satan cast out. But in light of eternity, it really ain't that long. And God intends to fill heaven with better quality than what left it. With people that will trust Him because He tested their faith in the fire. How would you like to give inheritance to untried marshmallows? God will fill, as Clara Grace used to say, God will fill that void with something he can be proud of. And what he wants is faith tried in the fire. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to quit with the introduction. I'm here next Sunday. I know where I was going. But I think the Holy Spirit has made a good point. And sometimes I give you so much, you don't know which to carry home. I have argued for 7 days. I suppose since we went on satellite, I have never had my faith tested quite as much as this past week. And many of you know, I was closer. Hey, it was not losing Dallas. That's in God's hands. You know what happened to me that almost destroyed me? You almost lost a pastor this week for one reason. I have spent 9 years doing what God sent me here to do. But I spent 9 years also trying to bring this church to a point of faith that we would understand together. We cannot be what God wants us to be, a voice in this last day, rooted and grounded on God's Word, a compass point in the midst of confusion. If God cannot give a band of mighty men, generically used men and women, whose faith will set me free from the stumbling stone of having to raise funds in a desperate, begging way. It didn't bother me that we lost Dallas. You know what bothered me? The Dallas Morning News carried a headline because when the Dallas station took us off, the next night I knew we were not on, and that was the night I had to raise the money and say, if you don't help me, we're finished. You brought me to that. The headline in the Dallas Morning News, TV evangelist pleads for money, as they played that rerun. If we cannot come out of that screen different from what the world has decided every television preacher or man of God does, beg for money. Satan knew what he was doing. Once, in the 6 weeks we've been on in Dallas, the reason I was brought to it is the stations we've gone on occupy me from 8 p.m. West Coast time until midnight. I therefore couldn't talk every night to the people in Los Angeles and San Francisco who know. But do you know why a fixation has occurred and the growth is slow in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New England? During the years of the dead on this church, necessity created a law of first impression. All he does is raise money on TV. Until thousands of innocent people who have been ill-taught never had the chance to listen long enough to hear what some of you listen to. Well, we'll be on in Dallas. There's an absolute near riot going on in that city. One newsman said, there's a revolt going on. But our crushing needs drove us to the mat, to where I had to do what I have to do every month. You can say, just teach. The teaching won't do it. When I just teach, it doesn't come in. You that were listening know that the $1,000 pledges did not come until I drew the line and said, we've got to have the $1,000 pledges. Now, I have a long track record. I'll do what I have to do. But God's work is set back. Oh, I've come through it. I've said, okay, you know. I can't help it. I'm so proud of God and His truth and have a dream and know what can be done to rescue truly the perishing. If I can simply have 300 people who will do it without being told to do it, and 5,000 Gideons who will do it without being told to do it, because they have an inbuilt sense of value and they know the truth, I can teach the truth as long as I don't have to sit down and say, okay, I got to stay here till I get it. Then you're ground into it. I don't want to leave today with a blanket of guilt. We made it. But one more city, Satan was able to set us back. Satan attacked. They knew what to select and play. You think they don't know that? You think that TV stations don't know that if they can play you raising money, it'll turn an audience off? Do you have any idea what I went through when headline? Two things kill me. TV evangelists. Please. That's a synonym for begs. Please. For money to stay on the air. What can I say? I did. I said, help me, folks. I don't want to leave on that note. I accept from God's hand whatever licking He had to give me for wishing that the fight of faith could get less intense. And I stand here today as your pastor knowing that what God's looking for is faith tried in the fire. And some of you moved long before the crises, and you deserve all the credit. Others of you moved too slow. Some of you weren't even there, didn't even know what was happening. The message I want to leave today with an upward beat is today is the first day, as they often say, of the rest of our life. Let's get it together and understand what this road to heaven involves. Faith tried in the fire. Don't let a handful make it in because you didn't face the fire with us. And the application is beyond the church to you personally. I said it and I believe it. I would guess that our king's houses the last 2 weeks have been under attack individually more than any time you remember. To hell with the devil. Let's resist him. That's my message.